The city of Babylon represents humanity's greatest rebellion against God. From the ancient days of Nimrod to its ultimate resurgence in the end times. Today you'll discover how God will bring down this reviled Babylon, the heart of Antichrist's political and religious deception. As we journey through Revelation 17 and 18, you'll witness the dramatic end of the world's false religious system and the collapse of its power center.
The word Jerusalem means foundation of peace. Jerusalem carries within its very name the promise of God's ultimate plan for the future, when one day it will be a city of peace. Now, the city of Babylon was originally called Babel or Babel. It was founded by Nimrod back in Genesis chapter 10. He built the city along with that famous tower, that infamous tower of Babel, in defiance of God's command to spread out and fill the earth. Well, Nimrod didn't want to do that. He wanted to unite the world into one global kingdom under his rule. Well, the city of Babylon became his political headquarters. That tower of Babel was going to become the center of his false religion. Now, with that as a backdrop, we're sailing into Revelation chapter 17 on our wisdom journey today, where John the Apostle describes this new Babylon and its false religion. Now, some say that Babylon here is, you know, only a symbol for evil, that it represents the city of Rome. Well, I believe we have every reason to take Babylon as a literal city. It's going to be rebuilt in what is now modern-day Iraq. Babylon's going to become the headquarters of the Antichrist. And I want to point out four characteristics of Babylon and its one-world religion that's going to develop during the tribulation. Verses 1 and 2 say, "Then one of the seven angels said to me, 'Come, and I will show you the judgment of the great prostitute who is seated on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed sexual immorality, and with the wine of whose sexual immorality the dwellers on earth have become drunk.'" This is another way of telling us that Babylon is going to have great influence. That's the first characteristic. It's described here as a rather alluring prostitute who has effectively seduced the leaders of the world. Now, keep in mind that with the rapture, the restraining influence of the church is going to be removed. But that won't remove the religious appetite of the human heart. Let me tell you, the human heart is going to worship something. It's been created for worship. Well, here in the New Babylon the Great, verse 5 tells us, all the false religions of the world are going to be joined together and influence everyone. Now, the second characteristic is her partnerships. Verse 3 describes her as sitting on a scarlet beast that was full of blasphemous names, and it had seven heads and 10 horns. Now, we've already learned that the Antichrist's kingdom will be the seventh and final world empire before the return of Christ. It's going to be made up of a coalition of 10 kings. Verse 9 says that these seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. Now, some take this as a reference to Rome, the city set on seven hills. But if you look carefully here, these seven heads are actually kings, and they represent their personal kingdoms. Verse 10 tells us that five of these kingdoms have fallen. Now, this indicates to us that they are already in the past tense, so to speak, in reference to John. One kingdom, John writes, is. In other words, one kingdom is ongoing, and that refers here to the current Roman Empire of John's time. So, five world kingdoms are past. One is, John writes, his Roman Empire that he's living in. And then John writes this, the other kingdom has not yet come. Well, this future kingdom is the kingdom of the Antichrist. Well, now a third characteristic of the New Babylon and its false religion is this. It has enormous wealth. Verse 4, again, goes back in describing this prostitute, this false religion, as adorned in expensive clothing and gold and jewels and pearls. In other words, the false religion of the Antichrist is going to dazzle the world's attention with its wealth and beauty. Well, fourth, this false system is going to have an evil agenda. Verse 6 describes this woman here as drunk with the blood of the saints, the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. Well, let me tell you, her mission is not to make disciples. Her mission is to murder, to martyr the followers of Christ. Well, now with that, John reveals the destruction of religious Babylon, this one world religion. Verse 16, the 10 horns and the beast will hate the prostitute. They will make her desolate and naked and devour her flesh and burn her up with fire. What John is telling us here as he previews the future is that this 10-kingdom federation, ultimately under the beast, the Antichrist, will eventually decide that they don't want this religious system, this one-world religion, anymore. Now, while initially this one-world religion was useful to their cause and they loved it, they're not going to allow it to challenge their power, their ruler, the Antichrist. But we've already learned that at the midpoint of the tribulation, the Antichrist will proclaim himself to be God and demand worship from everyone. Well, this one world religion and its religious leaders aren't going to like that very much. And now all of a sudden you have war between that one world religion and this one world ruler. And John just tells us here that one world religion is going to lose this battle. She's going to be made desolate and naked. Well, now with that, chapter 18 fast forwards to the end of the tribulation to show us the final destruction of the city of Babylon. Chapter 18 focuses not on the religious part of the city, but on the political and the economic fall of the city. An angel announces here in verse 2, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great." Well, he goes on here to describe how the city is going to become a wasteland for demons and wild animals. With that, another voice from heaven is heard. Verse 4, it says, "Come out of her, my people, lest you take part in her sins, lest you share in her plagues." In other words, there's a great collapse coming. Judgment is unavoidable. It's fully justified. Verse 5 says, "Her sins are heaped high as heaven." Verse 7 says, "She," that is Babylon, "glorified herself and lived in luxury. In her heart, she says, I sit as a queen." Well, in other words, she's just full of herself. She's filled with arrogance and effectively dares God to judge her. Well, let me tell you, God will bring judgment. Verse 8 says, "Her plagues will come in a single day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be burned up with fire, for mighty is the Lord God who has judged her." In other words, this city is going to fall. Now, with Babylon's tragic destruction, you might think that the world is going to finally wake up and see that they're fighting against the God of heaven, Creator God, and His Son, the Messiah. Still, they're not going to repent. They're going to weep and wail over the collapse of Babylon, the political and economic center of the Antichrist global kingdom. In fact, three categories are shown here, weeping and wailing. First, you have the monarchs of the earth here in verses 9 and 10. They've lost the luxury the city provided them, as well as their own economic power. They're now bankrupt. The second category of people who are weeping and wailing are the merchants. Verse 11 tells us that they will weep and mourn for her since no one buys their cargo anymore. Well, now third, you have the mariners, verses 17 and 18. "All shipmasters and seafaring men, sailors and all whose trade is on the sea, cried out as they saw the smoke of her burning." They're literally seeing all the warehouses, all the marketplaces, all the shopping centers going up in flames. They never ask why here. They see only what they've lost. One author explained the reaction by writing, you know, when money is God and God is gone, what is left but godless grief? Well, most of the world now is weeping and wailing and crying over what they've lost, but God's people are actually rejoicing. You've got this heavenly voice here in verse 20 saying, "Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you saints and apostles and prophets, for God has given judgment for you against her." Now, beloved, although we plead today for unbelievers to trust in Christ and to avoid God's final judgment, we will actually one day rejoice in God's perfect justice, the vindication of his righteous character. Our perspectives will be perfected and glorified, and we're going to simply focus on his victorious kingdom and his glory. Well, verse 21 gives us God's final word. "Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, 'So will Babylon the great city be thrown down with violence and will be found no more.'" Let me tell you, beloved, humanity's defiance, united defiance of God, began with Nimrod back in the book of Genesis in the very first city called Babylon. The final defiance of mankind is going to circle back to a newly rebuilt Babylon. Same city, same location, but it's all going to end here at this final battle of Armageddon in our next session. Until then, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Revelation can be a challenging and complicated book. If you'd like help understanding the book of Revelation in more detail, Stephen has an extensive series of full-length sermons through Revelation. You'll find those at wisdomonline.org. Navigate to our archive of sermons, open up the book of Revelation, and begin listening to discover more insights into this important book. That's wisdomonline.org. See you next time.